Today's reading is taken from Matthew 16, just verses 13 to 19. Six verses, very important, years back. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, so that whatever you bind on earth will also be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. It is me next, isn't it?
It is. Go, Robin. Go.
I was waiting for the collection. Normally, I never give a sermon without a collection of some considerable clout. Great. Well, it's lovely to see you all. My name's Robin Gamble, and I work for the diocese, helping with growth of local churches, and I'm also a vicar in Bradford, which is incredibly different, I am realising, from Starbeck and Harrogate. You know when you're down south and people say, "Whoa, it's rough up north"? I think it's Harrogate they've got in mind, don't you, Rick? Anyway, I don't know if any of you... We watched the film the other night, Trainspotting. I watched it when it first came out, and they've got a new one coming out, so we thought, we'll watch Trainspotting. Anybody here watch Trainspotting? Part of it was shot around here, do you know that? Yeah, it showed the true life of Starbeck, I can tell you. Anyway, it's great to be with you. I'm having a lovely morning. I've never been here before. This amazing church. It is. Sometimes when you belong to a church, you don't realise it. I think it's absolutely fantastic. It has been built with such conviction and sense of majesty and beauty, hasn't it? Real power building. And there's lots of little details. Have you noticed this little stone down here? It's just an added little lovely thing, isn't it? And I especially like the extending ladders, beautifully draped in the organ loft. Is that the Jacob Chapel or something like that? Anyway, I talk about evangelism, church growth, building the church where... and I do that not because it's my job, it's the other way around. I do it because it's utterly my passion and conviction. I just love to see people coming to faith. And I was so pleased that this particular passage came up. I didn't ask for it this morning, because it's always had a great significance for me. Jesus meets with the disciples. They've been going all over the place. He's been doing amazing things. And they've gradually been wondering, who is he? Where does he come from? What is he all about? And Jesus, it's really important that they get him properly. So they sit down round the campfire one night, and he says, "Right, we've been doing all this stuff. What do you think?" And it's Peter, more than anybody else, who provides the breakthrough. "You're more than a prophet. You're more than a Jeremiah, more than an Elijah. And I never quite know whether, I wonder whether Peter had worked it out in advance, or maybe that moment was the final piece in the jigsaw, where he just clicked. And he said, you are the one, you are God's one, you are the Messiah, the leader, God on earth, you are what we all want, need, waiting for, you are the one." And it had to happen. Somebody had to see Jesus for what he was before they could move into the next phase. And the next phase, and this is always my favourite bit, where he says, "Right, You are Peter. You are the rock. And on you I will build my church. Now, this is a little story of the first time and the greatest time I ever experienced this passage from. I was at theological college. I was training to be a vicar. I knew nothing. Everybody else in the college knew loads more about God, the Bible, the whole shooting match. I don't know what on earth they were doing there. I'd just been yanked out of the middle of Bradford and stuck in this place. And so I kept having little experiences where I found bits of the Bible that I'd never come across before. In fact, the longer I was there, I thought, I'd quite actually like to find a bit of the Bible that I have come across before. And of course, I would go down and say this to all the others, and, do you know, I've just found this amazing passage, never read it before. And in a theological college, you never say, never read it before. Everybody else has read it 25 times in 3 different languages. So I lied and said, of course, it's much more meaningful in the Russian. But anyway, because I had this experience, I was a bit of an odd ordinand. And I'd come in late one night, and I had to get this essay done, right? And it was about this passage, Caesarea Philippi, a very famous part. And I was reading it, and I remember vividly sitting in my room, early hours of the morning, typical student, except other ordinands were not there anyway. And I'm there, and I'm reading this. You are Peter. On you, I will build my church. That's what Jesus says. And I had this experience. I didn't know anything about it. I'd never even heard of church growth and all this malarkey. I just came from this little struggling but very, very wonderful church in the middle of Bradford. And I felt Jesus speaking to me as I was reading. I really, really felt him say, you are Robin. What on earth am I going to do with you when you're ordained? I've no idea. No, I didn't read it. I felt he said, you are Robin. And on you, I will build my church. I don't think that's particularly because I was training to be a vicar or anything else. I just think it was because this story so impassioned me. It's natural to build. Children are much more natural than we are. Have you ever, right, got a group of kids sat around the breakfast table, they're all there, put a gigantic box of Lego in the middle of the table, and they've all put their hand up and says, ooh, could we read the Bible instead, Dad? What? They're straight into the Lego. Because it's just what kids do, isn't it? And look at all these children, where have you put, oh, I thought you'd taken it home to play with after dinner. Kids, they just get it. Let's build something. Exactly. And that was exactly what I felt when the first time I read Matthew 16. Lord, lead on. Let's build something. What I soon learned after that was that we're not going to build a church out of Lego bricks. Would that we could. We're going to build it out of people. Have you ever noticed that? The great thing about Lego bricks are these wonderful bricks here. But the great thing about proper bricks like this is they all work. Lego is brilliant. Every brick clicks into place with all the other bricks. None of them are awkward, angular, funny, and who's ever heard a Lego brick complain? You open the box. Could I have a word, Vicar? I've never yet heard that in a Lego box. Can I just have a comment about your Christmas services? No, 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 no. They're all just lovely, neat, shiny, bright coloured, and they all click together beautifully. Unfortunately, people, and from what I understand, you lot in particular in this church, is that, did I get that right, Philip? You know, people are amazing. Could I just do that? I brought this along. I got a little Christmas present. I quite like this. I thought we might have a go of it. it's called 50 Things Everyone Must Do in a Lifetime. And really, it works really for older people like me, who I've only managed 3 of the out of the 50 so far. I feel as if I need to get... And so I quite like... would you like to have a little go at this? No. Yes, some of you would. Good. I'll just give you a health warning. Some of these cards are a bit rude. You can tell them because they're all bent at the top. I've used them quite a bit. Right, who's going to take a card? Take a card. This is 50 things you've got to do at once in a lifetime. You pick a card, my love. What card are we going for?
This one.
This one, shall I read it out? Right, it says, bet on a winning horse. Do you know, I've never placed a bet. Neither have I. I've placed loads of bets on losing horses, but never on a winning horse. Shall we pull another card? Would you like to? No, you're absolutely terrified, aren't you? This loud-spoken man who sprays. Put your anorak on. Take a card. Oh, I hope it's not a rude one. You look very young and... swim with wild dolphins. Doesn't that sound amazing? Yeah, absolutely. To swim with the dolphins. I'd quite like to have a go at that. I've waggled round the goldfish from time to time, but never... Right, we'll just take a card. I know. This is guaranteed to put anybody off coming to church, isn't it? It's what does your card say?
I have no idea. Without my glasses on.
Without your glasses on. It says, get a decent pair of glasses. It's a little man with a paintbrush, and it says, create your own masterpiece.
Oh, wow.
Do you paint?
Walls, ceilings.
Walls and ceilings. Oh, hey, that were good enough for Michelangelo. It's good enough for you. Anyway, the point is this. I quite like the idea that you only live once. And basically, you want to get the best out of life and have all the greatest experiences. The problem is, there's 50 things here to do. There's not a single card in the pack that mentions anything remotely to do, such as find God, get your life sorted out, experience complete forgiveness for everything you've ever done and said. Make a new start in life. Discover the most wonderful human being that's ever lived. He was called Jesus. He lived 2,000 years ago. I just... You know something in this church? Every time I'm coming to a key moment, either kids walk out or somebody turns the music up. Turn the music down and put the fags out as well. It's a no smoking area through there. Don't tell me it's incense. And I think building a church and growing a church, it's not actually about like building a more successful church. You know, when I went to theological college, I thought, oh, God's called me to be a vicar. That means I'm going to be like a local branch manager. Like you have the co-op on one side and the Church of England local branch on the other, and I'm going to be running the Church of England. And I discovered it wasn't at all like that. What he was calling me to do was not to run the local branch, but to build a church. And not just me because I was the vicar, but to work with whoever was there when I went to this church, to build a church. To grow a church. And you build it out of people. And I'm still a vicar. I'm still part of a local church. So I thought maybe I could just tell you about one or two. Do you know there's this wonderful woman in our church? She's called Danielle. And because it's Bradford, very different from Starbeck, she's just the sort of person who shouldn't be in church. You know, like, let's face it, the Church of England is a gigantic middle-class monolith of a thing, isn't it, really? Which is okay for posh people like you and me. But in the middle of Bradford, you know, Danielle's not like that. And she came along for a baby baptising, and I thought, christening, I thought, yeah, she's not going to... She's still there, 18 months, 2 years later. Not only that, she's really getting God. She talks about the music and how she's often moved. And Danielle has brought Emma, her sister. And Danielle and Emma have brought Claire, their sister-in-law. That seems like building a church. You are Peter. You are Robin. You are Philip. You are Sarah. You are Charlie. You are whoever you are. On you, I want to build my church in Starbeck. Let's not beat about the bush. From what I've seen, Starbeck's a bit of a dump. Boy, does it need Jesus.
Is that not...
What's going on here? It's not all like Bradford. I've yet to see a single house in Starbeck with an horse in the front garden. Don't you like horses? There's a young couple started coming to church some time ago. And you sometimes get this. Sometimes people come into a church and they're so keen. In fact, Luke was so keen. Not only does he come on a Sunday morning, he comes on a Wednesday morning. We have this extra service on a Wednesday morning because it's really for people that don't work. I mean, this is Bradford. We could have it Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And he comes to that. And then I noticed they started sort of cooling off a bit. And now they're warming up a bit. It's just like that. But it feels frustrating, disappointing, but exciting and brilliant all at the same time. We've just started another league. We've planted another church. And Luke and his wife Vicky, they've joined our planting team. How brilliant is that? In the place where there's no, it's like they are helping us to build a brand new church from nothing. But often when we think about evangelism, church growth, church building, we often think about young people and one thing and another. So I want to just give you my last little human Lego brick. I've hardly got to know her yet because she's only appeared once. She came this week, Wednesday. I'm not there for all of our services because I'm away a lot doing stuff like this, but I was there on Wednesday. And somebody brought along this lovely old lady. She's called Laura. She's quite elderly and looks incredibly frail. Like a thin, brittle little twig that you think one bang and she'd snap in half. And I can't imagine that she's going to be a great church growth, church builder type human. She's got it. However, I just had a brief chat with her after the service. She's come and we have coffee and cakes and some people stop on and have lunch and that. She did the whole shooting match. She says, this is being wonderful. I'll be coming every week. And I just think, actually, you know, in God's eyes, Laura is so precious. She'll be the next building brick for us. So many people. What are you going to do with your life? Don't know. It's really interesting when you drive to a church some distance on a Sunday morning. And I especially like it when I'm coming from quite a way away where the first service starts nice and early at 9 o'clock. I've hardly cleaned out my tubes yet. And here we go. And you see what everybody's doing on a Sunday morning. And obviously driving into Harrogate, you see what everybody's doing. They're all out in their day glow tracksuits on bicycles, you know, pumping away like mad or jogging along. Morning, Archdeacon. Have you thought of going to church? And you have loads of dog walkers. Except, you know, Harrogate dogs, they wouldn't last a minute in Bradford. I've yet to see a single pit bull, and I've been out here all morning. There are all these little gentle things on the end of... Anyway, and I feel like, you know, and I see the bloke, you know, endless Sunday Times and Sunday Telegraph. He's going home for a nice coffee. That's his idea of relaxing Sunday morning. And
people are setting off to go for serious hiking walk, which is great, all that. And there's loads of things to do in one lifetime. But I think the most wonderful and the most life-transforming, 50 things to do, one thing to do with a life, find God. Find God and live. Find God and find laughter. Find God, find new beginnings. Find God, find everything we've been looking for without even knowing we're looking in the whole of life. You know, Bob Dylan said it all. Bob Dylan, he is the psalmist of our age. To my mind, his greatest song. How does it feel to be on your own with no direction home, just like a rolling stone? In contrast to that, Jesus reaches out to us. You know, it's lovely to be in St. Andrew's, and I've been banging on about Peter. You know, Peter, he is the leader. He is the rock. Oh, a man with big shoulders. We're going to build my church on you, Peter. We're going to make a new beginning. It's going to change the world. We'll build on you. The really interesting thing is that who was it who made that possible? Who was it who brought Peter to meet with Jesus? St. Andrew. And I love it in this church. I was sitting down here and I noticed right at the top of the window. Have you noticed that? I'm sure you all have. You probably get endless sermons about it. St. Andrew's Cross, of course. It's nothing to do with the Scottish rugby union team. St. Andrew is the first evangelist. Right at the beginning of John's Gospel. St. Andrew says to his big brother Peter, I have met this amazing man. What do you mean you met an amazing man? He's just, well, I can hardly put it into words. It's as if I've been waiting all my life to meet this man. He's truth, he's beauty, he's compassion, all in one. Why don't you come and meet him as well? And I think that's what building a church actually is all about. One by one, just as these children did, taking a great big pile of bricks and working together and knocking the whole thing down. And just patiently, gradually, allowing Jesus to build his church on us. Now here's a final prayer, but I'd like it to be a bit of a special prayer. If you feel like a yes moment, you know, yes Lord, build your church. And I do know that he's already building a church. I know what's going on with all the churches. I have all the stats. And it's a great blessing what's happening in this place. But if you want more to be involved, helping him to build his church here in Starbuck, we're going to pray. So if you want to be part of this prayer, just stand with me. Right? Because I'm going to pray for God's Spirit to come upon us all, so that we labour with him in the power of his Spirit, his gentle Spirit. Yes, Lord, whatever I am, I don't know how to do any of this, but I'd just like to sort of offer myself so that you can build on me as well, your church. Lord God, let your Spirit, your church building, church growing Spirit, come upon each one of us. May you build your church on us. to your glory and to the reaching out and saving of all your people. Amen.